I'll tell you, he's got an amazing family, and I hope that you'll get to know them soon. They're a great family, and we're so appreciative of him leading us today in worship. Listen, we're going to be talking about truth for the next several weeks, and I'm going to show this video again next week, just to kind of drive home the point of how important truth is and why truth matters. And let's go to the Lord in prayer, all right? Father, we desperately need you. Our nation needs you. Our children, the future needs you. We need you, Lord. And we need your truth. There's a lot of opinions and a lot of ideas and philosophies floating around, Father. So we seek today your truth. And come what may, Father, whether it's hard truth, soft truth, whatever your truth is, Lord, I pray that we will receive your truth and we will hear who you truly are from your word today. In Christ's name, amen. Well, Lisa's back there going, tell the kids that they can come back. So kids, if you would like to make your way to Children's Church, make your way to the back door there. There you go. Hey, if you're like me, you want things to go well, and you want things to go good all the time, and you want life to be enjoyable. How many of y'all want life to be enjoyable? You want things to work out well. You want peace. You want kindness. You want love, you want compassion. I kind of tend to lean that way. I've got this gift of mercy, and so I find myself just always kind of looking on the brighter side and find myself sort of just looking for the good things in life. And I want my life and I want others' lives to go well for them, and I want them to be at peace. But listen, there's times when I have to just tell people like it is, right? And there's times when I have to be a straight shooter. And there's times when I have to sort of set things straight and I have to make that call and I have to meet that person and I have to just kind of share what I believe they need to know. And I don't like that. I don't like doing that. And I've learned if I'm going to be a healthy person, and if I'm going to be truly faithful to God's word, if I'm going to be healthy for my family, if I'm going to be the right kind of pastor for this church, if I'm going to be the right kind of friend to the people I love, then I'm going to have to, at times, speak to them, speak truth into their lives, whether it's kind, whether it seems enjoyable or not. And I've come to realize this about Jesus. In the scriptures, we see, as we read about the story of Christ through the Gospels, we see him at times, he seems really forgiving. And then at other times, he seems really condemning. There are times when he seems really harsh and straightforward. And then there's other times where he seems very kind. There's times when he seems very direct. And then there's sometimes when he's not. And so what's the deal here? What's this? I mean, we see this tension and this tension throughout Scripture. We see this tension as Jesus teaches us. And as Jesus lives out his life on earth, we see this tension. And listen, what can we learn from this tension? And you probably know what I'm talking about. Because you too might feel like, you struggle with this too. I mean, but listen, you can't be loose all the time. Sometimes you have to tighten up. And you can't be tight all the time. Sometimes you have to loosen up, right? And you've seen those parents who want things to go well with their kids, and they want their kids to be happy, and they try to be their friend. Does that work out good? No. And you see this tension. Everywhere you go, you see this tension and you see this struggle. We're in the Gospel of John today, so if you'll turn with me, we're going to look at John chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me. Now, John was called the beloved disciple, and in fact, he called himself the disciple that Jesus loved, and he was one of Jesus' closest disciples. We actually talked about that a little bit this past Wednesday. But John, he grew to be an old man, and it was kind of, it's unlike many of those followers in the early days of Christ. They met their fate pretty early on. Matthew, they say, was burned at the stake. The Apostle Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down, Josephus says. And many of those followers in those early days were killed. But John, he grew to be an old man. And he wrote this gospel about 40 to 45 years after Jesus. And he writes this, and we find in chapter 20, and I'm not going to have you jump to chapter 20, but we find out in chapter 20 the purpose for him writing this letter. And he says this, "These have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." And so he's saying, I'm writing these things so you that you will believe, that you'll believe in him, in the person of Jesus Christ, that you'll have faith in him, like we've been talking about for the last several weeks. You'll have the confidence and the conviction that he is who he says he is, and he'll do what he says he'll do. This was John's passion to speak this truth into people's lives. And so John devoted his life to this. And so he begins this gospel in chapter 1 with a sort of this big picture, this grandiose idea that Jesus is the Word. And that this Word comes into the world. And so let me explain sort of what's happening here. This term he uses at the beginning, because it says in chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay? This term, Word, is a Greek word, logos, and I've actually shared a message on this before. I won't spend a whole lot of time on it today, but it's a Greek word, logos, and in this time, and in this period of time, and in this day and age that John is writing, they knew what that term meant. The Jews knew it to mean God's revealed truth, his revelation, right? They knew it to mean his prophecy, his word, his truth. The Greeks, the philosophers, they knew it to be sort of this expression of this divine being and how he relates to man. And so they understood this word. They spoke of this word. They used this word a lot. And so, but when we read it today, we just go, this is kind of confusing. As a matter of fact, sometimes I'll tell people, new believers, start in the book of John, and then they get to John chapter 1, and they're like, what in the world is he talking about here? Well, what this is talking about is the Word, the truth of God, all that God is, his spoken Word became flesh, okay? There's so much more to it, but I just want you to grab hold of that, okay? So God's Word became flesh. And it dwelled among us. God's Word became flesh, and it dwelled among us. And so it was as if Jesus, he's painting a picture, and when he's painting this picture of the world, he puts all these people into his picture. It's like an artist, right? And then he enters into this painting that he painted. He enters in to this creation that he has made. Isn't that amazing? That should just shock us, that God would think so much about us that he would enter into his creation. He went into his painting. But when he did, when he entered into this painting, people did not recognize him, and they ended up wanting to throw him out of the painting, to throw him out of his creation. And so then, in this opening section of John, John gives us the words that best capture this tension that we're sort of talking about this morning. Look at chapter 1, verse 14. Chapter 1, verse 14. It says this, you're going to see it up here on the screen. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This word, the word of God, the revelation of God, the truth of God, the prophecy of God, it comes to flesh. It became flesh in the form of a man. I love this passage that Mike shared a little bit earlier. It took the form of a man. This word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came into his creation, dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. And this is John sort of talking. He literally saw his glory. He said, we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. Look what he says at the end there. Full of grace and truth. And there's the tension that we're talking about today. Grace and truth. Truth says, I'm going to hold you accountable. Grace says, you're forgiven. Truth says, you got a lot of work to do. Grace says, you're okay. Do you see the tension there? And sometimes it's just when you read scripture, it's sort of hard to reconcile this whole grace and truth tension. Some of you have children, or some of you have been raised by parents, and one of your parents was the grace parent, and then your other parent was, you know, Mr. Truth. You know what I'm talking about? And so you see that, you saw it in your home, and some of you are that way. I find myself, we've got the same scenario at home. Melanie's more of the truth person, I'm more of the grace person, okay? She likes to lay down the law. I'm like, okay, back off a little bit, back off. You know? And so we find ourselves, everybody's like, you always bring your wife into this. Yes, that's part of the deal. That's part of this deal, this marriage thing. But here's what I want you to see. Jesus is fully both. He's fully both. He's 100% grace. And he is 100% truth. He is full of grace and truth. And John spent years with them, and he saw this. And he mentions this in the first chapter. This is so significant, such a significant truth, that grace and truth was born. It was born. This word became a man, and that word of grace and truth became this man, full of grace and truth, 100% grace, 100% truth. And too often, I want to be the one who's all about grace. And so what I do, what I find myself doing, is I find myself constantly trying to explain God from a viewpoint of grace, okay? And so what I do is I do so much grace talk about God, I don't do enough truth talk about God. Do you find yourself doing that? So I try to paint this picture of this grace God, and I do him an injustice because I leave out the truth part of who he is. And we see this going on. We see this tension in our churches, in our world. People are trying to explain God by the way that they see God instead of looking at the truth of what his word says. He is fully God. He is fully truth, and he is fully grace. He is both. And I like the verses that seem to sort of lean towards truth when I'm trying to address another person who's doing something wrong, right? But then when it comes to me dealing with myself, I like to lean more towards the verses that deal with grace, because I want grace. And we play this game with God instead of seeing him for the totality of who he really is. He is fully grace and fully truth. And I thought it was so important to talk about grace and truth today. It's amazing that it's in chapter 1, because there's so much mention in the book of John about truth. But it's so important that we understand that Jesus, when we talk about truth, and we're talking about Christ himself, when we talk about him, we have to talk about him being truth and grace, okay? Both of those together. So John says, I watched him. He came into this world, the living word, full of grace and truth, in perfect harmony. And then he goes on, and look at verse 15. You're going to see it here on the screen. John bore witness about him. This is talking about John the Baptist. This is not talking about the writer of this letter. John the Baptist bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.'" In other words, I was born, but look, Jesus preexisted for all eternity. All right? So he's the one that came after me, the John says. Look at verse 16. "For from his fullness," there's that word fullness again, "we have all received grace upon grace." I mean, this should really be pretty obvious to us. We have received a lot of grace from God. We are blessed by his grace, not just a little bit of grace, but grace upon grace. And John is bringing this home to the people of his day. We have been blessed by him. We have all received grace upon grace. And then for clarification, he says in verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." He says, for the law, and we all know what the law is, right? Moses brought the law. He came down from Mount Sinai with the law, and he was holding the Ten Commandments. Okay, there's much more to it. There's many, many more laws than the Ten Commandments. But the law came through Moses. And look what it says here. It says the law was given through Moses. God gave Moses the law, and he came down from that mountain. And this is what the law said. The law told us what to expect. The law gave us his standards. The law told us where our limitations are. The law spoke of the sinfulness of man. The law told us where our guardrails were and our boundaries were. It was very important that he presents the law. The law gave us dietary law. The law taught us about what forgiveness was and is, and the sacrifices that are required for forgiveness. And then look at what he says. He says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the law was given, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And I thought, I was just so intrigued by this word, came. Why would he change the words there? Why wouldn't he say the grace and truth was given through Jesus Christ? It's because this word came, in the original language, it means born or became. And so grace and truth was born through Jesus Christ. And notice he doesn't say given. The perfect fullness of grace and truth was born, and it showed up as a full package. It came through Jesus Christ. And listen, this is not about balance, finding the right balance. This is about fullness. It's not about Jesus having a good balance. This is about him having the fullness of grace and truth. Just really trying to drive this point home. So what a great way to start this message series. Chapter 1 makes it clear, grace goes with truth. I love what Randy Alcorn says. He says this, "Truth without grace breeds self-righteousness and legalism. Grace without truth breeds deception and moral compromise." Grace without truth is a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. So you remember the story of the woman at the well. The story of the woman at the well, and this is what actually my message was going to be on today. The story of the woman at the well is such a great picture of this mixture of grace and truth. So Jesus, he goes to this well. This is in John chapter 1, starting in verse, or John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. But Jesus, he goes to this well to draw water, but he has nothing to draw water with. And so he strikes up this conversation with a Samaritan woman, and Jesus being a Jew, he wasn't supposed to be talking to Samaritan women, and Samaritan women were not supposed to be talking to him, but Jesus extends grace to her, and he begins to talk to her. And she's amazed that he's even speaking to her, and he's showing her a lot of grace. Then he says, hey, I want you to go back to your town and get with your husband and bring him back or bring him out to me. And she says, I have no husband. And then he looks at her and he says, you have spoken right. For you have had five husbands. And the man that you're with now, you're not even married to. And so it's so amazing, okay? He's loving on her, right? Showing her a lot of grace, speaking with her, talking with her about different things. And then he gets very direct with her. And he speaks truth into her life. Why? Because she needs it. She doesn't just need all grace. She needs truth. And so then he starts to deliver some truth to her. This is the truth. You're outside the will of God. You've had five husbands, and the man that you're with now is not even your husband. Wow. I mean, did Jesus learn anything in the counseling section of his Bible school classes? That he's not supposed, I mean, when he went to Bible college, did he not take counseling, that he's not supposed to handle things like this and speak to people like this? Do you see what's happening here? Do you see how this sort of is playing out, that he was full of grace and full of truth? Then he says this, I can give you water that can quench your soul, and you will never thirst again. Now go and sin no more. That's grace, and that's truth. And in the next few weeks, because we're going to talk a lot about truth, I want you to keep this in mind, because some of it's going to seem so heavy sometimes that you're going to be like, wow, this is a little too weighty for me. But I want you to always know it's seasoned with grace. There's a heart of grace. And I like what in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says, we speak truth in love. We speak truth in love. That's love and grace together. It's interesting. Just yesterday, I was listening to a podcast by Ben Shapiro. Some of you might have heard of him before. He's a young guy and a political analyst, you know. And he played an excerpt from a politician, and the politician said this. Very interesting. This was just yesterday morning. The politician said this, the courageous people in the world are the ones who stand up for the little guy. And that sounds so good. I'm like, that's very true. Yeah, that's the ones that are courageous. But Ben Shapiro said, no, the most courageous ones are the ones who stand for the truth. You see the tension here? This is grace and truth on display yesterday morning on the podcast, all right? So he said this, actually, it's easy to stand up for the little guy. You'll always look like the hero if you stand up for the little guy. But what if the little guy who looks sad and poor and in need is actually terrorizing the city and living a depraved lifestyle? He said it's courageous to stand for the truth. Why? Because truth isn't easy to hear. It doesn't always look nice, but it leads to real solutions and gets real things done. That's me quoting him, all right? So I want you to see. I'm not saying that either one of them were right, they both were right. Show compassion, right? Stand up for the little guy. But on the other side, you've got the truthy, right? You got the guy who's all about the truth, and he's going, no, 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 this is about truth. And it's about speaking the truth, because truth leads to solutions. Listen, that's so true. Truth leads to solutions. And so grace without truth can be very dishonest and unhelpful. And on the other hand, truth without grace can be very judgmental And so we look at Jesus, and this is such an important point to understand about who Jesus is. He is full of grace. He is full of truth. And you might struggle at home with this. You might struggle in the workplace with this. You might struggle in parenting your children. You might struggle with speaking real truth to a friend because you just want that friend to like you. Believe me, I know. I deal with this all the time. I'm a grace guy. And this might be the tension that you feel in parenting and in dealing with different situations, but listen, we are flawed. We are not perfectly balanced like Christ. He is the fullness of these two things. But that is no excuse to be so judgmental or to be so overly grace-filled that you're not speaking the truth to a person. Okay, there's no excuse for that. As Christ's followers, our aim is to be like him. Our aim is to seek him in all the things that we do. And so I look back and I look back at what John is saying. He's saying this word of God, this revelation of God, the prophecies, all those things, the truth of who God is, it was made flesh and it dwelled, and this truth, it dwelled among us. And what did he do? He came and he was born in the fullness of grace and truth. Well, why? Because he's trying to show us something. He's being an example for us. How important this is. And I want to make an appeal to you. If you find yourself leaning one way or the other way, and you find yourself inclined, I don't want you to read God's word. And I don't want you to represent God and represent Christ in a way that's one-sided like you are. We have to find, we're looking for balance. He's the fullness of both, but we're looking for the balance. And so I want to make an appeal to you over the next few weeks. Let's find that balance when we talk about truth. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, if you speak without love, you are a clanging gong. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us check our hearts as we enter into this new series, Lord, as we begin to examine what your word says in the book of John about truth. And I pray for that person here who has brought too much law and truth and not enough grace. And I pray for that person who's brought too much grace and not enough truth. That, Lord, that you'll help us to find that balance, Lord, that you love us. You know how we operate, Lord. And I pray that you'll speak grace and truth into our lives today. In Christ's name, amen.